Oh my, what large stones we have here. This is the beginning of our gospel this morning. The disciples admiring the grandeur and the wonder that was the temple in Jerusalem. Now, for many of us, the significance of the temple is kind of lost on us. But for the Israelite people, a people who at one point were enslaved in Egypt, for a people who at one point wandered the desert for 40 years, for a people who had been promised a land flowing with milk and honey, for a people who'd been promised safety and security, the temple was significant. The temple for them symbolized their eternal presence of God with them. So I don't think it's any wonder that the disciples would stand there in Jerusalem and wonder and marvel at the opulence and the grandeur of the temple. My, what large stones we have here. And I don't think it's that lost on the human condition that we often marvel at what is big. We human beings love bigger things, grander things. We live in a society that places a lot of emphasis on bigger and better. But why do we get so obsessed with it? Why must we think about all these things that are bigger and better? The church has even gotten in this a little bit. In the Middle Ages, we used to build big things called cathedrals, these grand Gothic and inspiring spaces that would... They were supposed to be the connection of human beings to heavenly spaces, inspiring faith in believers. But you know, those buildings are really expensive to maintain. And I think it's not lost on the church today, especially a church that's living out of the age of the 1950s or the institutional church. How many times when I go out and talk with congregations as they invite me in with congregational vitality, do they focus on how many people are sitting in the pews and how many dollars they have in their banks accounts? It's no shocker that the mainline church is not growing by leaps and bounds at this time. In fact, it's mostly shrinking. I lovingly joke that the ELCA, our denomination, has been dying ever since it was formed in 1989. My, what large stones, right? It's not about the butts and bucks for institutional church. I'm sorry to say, but if that's the church that you want to build into the 21st century, well, Jesus has a little thing to tell you that not one of those stones will be left on stone. And I think we realized that reality when we walked into March of 2020 when the pandemic set in and we were like, well, how are we going to gather in this space with these stones? Jesus said, not one stone will be left on stone. And so I give thanks for the faithfulness of this community that didn't miss a beat and jumped on Zoom and Facebook Live. And because we knew it was about relationships and gathering together as a people and not about this building, that gathered us into that sacred community. I think the disciples heard that troubling news of Jesus saying it's not about these stones, it's not about this temple, it's not about what you do in sacrifice here in Jerusalem. And the disciples stopped and said, but wait a minute, that's what we built our whole life on. That's the only thing that we've ever known. And you're now telling us of a different way? And then Jesus goes on and he says, yeah, and it's going to get a lot worse. Maybe not discipleship 101 class, right? Hi, everything that you know is about to get reoriented and it's going to get a lot difficult. There will be wars and there will be famines and there will be earthquakes and this is just the beginning, folks. That's a hard message. But you know what? God does this all the time. When the world becomes chaotic and unstable, I think that's where God does some of God's best work. I mean, this truth about our God was there at the foundation and the beginning of all things, right? In the very beginning, there was chaos, and God spoke order. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, God raised up Moses and brought them out of slavery and into freedom. when they were in the desert coming up on the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was coming after them, Moses raised his rod and God made a way. Seemingly out of no way, the waters parted and the Israelites walked across on dry land. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace, going through the great ordeal, they came out unsinged from that fiery ordeal. For Daniel in the lion's den overnight, he prayed that God would be with him, and God closed the mouths of the lions, and he walked out in the morning free. You see, this is baked into our spiritual DNA. This is about who God is. And Jesus was inviting the disciples to see this truth about who God was. Because you know, the ultimate ordeal that Jesus shows us was that even in the face of pure hate, like Good Friday hate, God chooses resurrection. God chooses life in the face of great adversity. And so Jesus teaches us this. Now, I got to give credit to the disciples because they haven't experienced Easter yet. They don't know the truth and the good news of the empty tomb, that not even death would be able to hold Christ down or us back. Because this is how God loves in our world. And Jesus is inviting the disciples to see that profound truth of God's love for us in the face of adversity. And so Jesus says, this is but the beginning of what God might be bringing about through the power of resurrection in your life. And I have to say, as difficult as this pandemic has been, I have seen resurrection good news. I have seen this church stirring to new life in new and profound ways as we find ways to help people connect to God's love in their life. And whether that happens on Sunday afternoon as they watch our Facebook Live, or whether it's during the week or wherever you are finding ways to find God's love in your life and encouraging one another on the journey as we all have been stuck in this year of pandemic, these 20 months of a really great ordeal. I pray that this is well past the beginning of the birth pangs, that we are on the edge of something new and wonderful, because that's what God does. God creates wonderful opportunities in the face of adversity. And yes, is it difficult? Sure. Is it hard? Yes. But Jesus never said that following him was ever going to be easy. Jesus said, follow me. And follow me sometimes leads to the cross. But there, when we lay down the things that get in the way of seeing God's true presence with us, when we get rid of that busyness in our life and we truly see that God is with us in all things, well, then we begin to see the glory of God, because God's love is so deep and profound that it reaches across the chaos of our world and down into our lives to remind us that God is with us. So may this be the beginning of that awakening of God's love in your life. May this be the beginning of that resurgent message for the church in the 21st century, that it's about God's love and how we help others connect to that love. May this be the beginning of us devoting ourselves to that work of charity and love so that others might know God's amazing and unending love to reach into our chaotic moments in our life and love us back to life. Amen.